Greetings and salutations. It is Personal Injury Sleep Deprivation Monday here on Query and Schultz on ISC Sports Network. Show number 53, right, Derek?
Yep. We got a couple of really good candidates for this.
A couple of good?
Well, we both agreed on the number one.
There have to be some really good football linebackers or linemen that we're missing, right?
Harry Carson.
He's good.
Kind of close to my heart, even though he was a little bit. He's more your generation from the Crunch Bunch and the Giants of the 80s. Hall of Fame player. Don Drysdale, if we're going back even further.
Okay.
Former Cy Young winner, also a baseball Hall of Famer. Darius Leonard, who's not off to a good start this season, but an all-pro player with the Colts. So I thought of that as well. But I just think the style and the fact that he was.
The A-train, baby.
It's hard because you had Rick Barry and Dr. J. But you could make an argument that Artis Gilmore was the greatest player in the ABA. I mean, he was an unbelievable basketball player.
How about the fact that Artis Gilmore went to the Final Four with Jacksonville?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
And was one of a pair of seven-footers for Jacksonville.
They're the most, I think, not underrated, but irrelevant, I guess, Final Four team. Because, like, Holy Cross and CCNY went, but people remember that
George
CCNY
Mason?
Went. But people remember that, you know, because
That's fair.
It was so crazy,
and
it was a different world back then when Jacksonville went.
We have a lot to get to today, which, of course, the Colts and the Rams and Carson Wentz and Indiana and Purdue, there's plenty to get to. Want to lead with this, Derek. First off, when Carson Wentz, yesterday, as I'm looking, I was at the IndyCar race in Sonoma, in Laguna Seca. I came in on a red eye and landed at 9:30, came straight here. So I slept a little bit on the plane. The little nozzle thing, was I couldn't turn it off, and it was like 55 degrees.
So it was just blowing icicles right on your face.
It was horrible. Yeah. From San Francisco to Chicago. Yeah. Left San Francisco at 11:45 at night, Pacific. So like 8 hours ago. Went through Chicago, got here. So I did try to, you know, I haven't shaved. I've got a weird sunburn going on.
No, you look good.
I've got, like, because I had but somehow, can you see this? I've got you probably can't see it. I've got a scratch wound. I don't know what happened. I woke up in a great mood. I don't know what happened. I got a scratch mark on my head.
You pick up a cat or something on the
I don't know.
The weekend?
Yeah. I don't know. But as I was working the IndyCar race, I'm looking on my phone to follow the Colts game. And, of course, you know, I realized it was injury. But I saw that Carson Wentz, I saw all of a sudden that Jacob Eason was in the game. And so you know what I thought to myself?
What's that?
I thought the Colts, you know what they did? Gave him the hook. Yesterday was Talk Like a Pirate Day. We were the first ever to do this Talk Like a Pirate Day before everybody now knows about it.
I wish you wouldn't.
Long John Silver's is sending stuff out. And people love to Talk Like a Pirate Day all year long. We got gassed out in January. People are like, oh, it's too bad because we're just 9 months from Talk Like a Pirate Day. Mm-hmm. People love the Talk Like a Pirate Day. Literally, they do.
I often miss the radio show. It was a happy time in my life. Mm-hmm. That is one of the things I absolutely do not miss about the radio show, National Talk Like a Pirate Day. In fact, I used to schedule vacations around that, if you remember. And eventually, one of our bosses, Rob, told me, hey, you can't be out of the studio. It's September. It's Colts season. Like, we need you.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I was forced to be there, like, the last 7 years of the show. I took it off in 2012 and 2013. I was off those 2 days. It was great. We went to the Apple Orchard. I didn't have to deal with you. It was wonderful. Memorable days for me.
Do you know what the first letter of the Colts quarterback's name and the first letter of the Indianapolis Pro franchise's mascot have in common?
Yeah, it's what? The C?
The C!
Yeah, great. Wonderful.
See, all right. We can do this all day.
Let's
talk
get
like
this.
A pirate all day.
Let's get through this.
Okay.
We can do this. Kind of like your flight. We can soldier through it.
let me
tell you. Air conditioning.
Icicles coming up. I had three layers on. I was like,
it's bad.
It was like plane
and I'm somebody that likes it cool. I'd much rather be cold than hot.
It's brutal.
I've been on planes like that where you're like, oh my God, why is it 20 degrees?
It was not.
You know, it's rough.
Okay, let's begin with this. The latest on Carson Wentz in terms of, Derek, the reality is because the Colts are 0-2, I'm not trying to be like blind optimist homer guy. I mean, when it comes to the Colts, I'm anything but a homer. I don't sweat, if they're healthy, the fact that they're 0-2 because they've lost to two really good teams. I realize that Seattle lost to Tennessee, but still – there's no shame in losing to Seattle and losing to the Rams.
No. I agree.
They put themselves in position now, though, where they need to win all the games that they are supposed to win. A lot of that depends on the quarterback position and the health of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, all of this entire conversation we're going to have today is predicated on the Colts having a healthy Wentz, which has been a tough ask if you look back at his career, because this is a constant thing for him. But the latest, and we're taping this around lunchtime on Monday, the latest from Ian Rapoport, and this was from 10:30 this morning, Wentz is dealing with injuries not just to one ankle, but both ankles. And he's having tests to determine the severity of the sprains. So he uses the term sprains, not breaks, yesterday, even though sprains can be very problematic, too, as we've seen. So I hope that when you're watching this at, 7:45 tonight, because this show now debuts 7:30 Monday, YouTube, ISC, everything else. I don't know why I pointed the camera.
Yeah.
I hope that this information isn't dated. Like, we don't get on here and Carson Wentz has both feet amputated at 2:30 this afternoon.
Well, that would be problematic.
I just want to give people kind of a proper scope of where we are and what we know where we sit right now.
By the way, can I point out one thing that has nothing to do with the Colts, and then I promise we're going to stick with the Colts and IU?
Yeah, as long as it's not Pirate-related, absolutely.
What's that?
As long as it's not Pirate-related, you absolutely can. I'll give you permission for that.
I'm actually kind of proud. So today is Monday.
Yeah.
So the last time that I went to bed and got a night of sleep was Saturday evening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty proud of myself here.
Yeah.
I look presentable. I think I sound presentable for right now. You know?
No, 100%. Like, I mean, my bar.
Except for right in here. The beard makes my face look fat, and then there's a weird. But I mean, other than that, though.
No, I agree. And I commend you.
Hair looks good.
My bar, admittedly, is extremely low for you. So showing up is a victory. As far as I'm concerned, that's how I've always treated this show. Will Jake show up?
Do you know what?
Yes. Okay, he is physically here. Great.
Do you know what I'd ask for if I came to your bar?
What's that?
Rum.
Okay.
Okay. Do this all day. Mm-hmm. Was it yesterday? Was Talk Like a Pirate Day?
Yes, it was sometime.
I was on the West Coast, so from a time standpoint, it's still Talk Like a Pirate Day there, which is where I was yesterday.
But let's get back to the original point, and I feel like we're going to be doing that a lot. Yesterday's performance was a much better performance than Week One. If we're just talking glass half full stuff, the Colts played with and had opportunities to beat, and if we're being honest, probably should have beaten one of the best teams in the NFL, certainly one of the best teams in the NFC, and, and a contender in the Rams. They left points on the field. The red zone offense was just a disaster. The first drive was great, and then you know me, Jake. I've been a Frank Reich defender on the show, but you run three times. You basically run three dives, first, second, and third down. Like, what are you even doing? Of course you're going to throw on fourth down. The Rams knew exactly what was coming.
Does Frank Reich fall victim to, and I think a lot of coaches, this happens, but in particular when coaches become labeled or tabbed as kind of an aggressive innovator or an outside-the-box guy. I think Jeff Braun, this happened with two early at Purdue. Do they then handcuff themselves because they're constantly battling? In other words, do they outsmart themselves sometimes?
I think so. I think he gets cute sometimes. I think in that case, he just got overly boring. And whether he wants to admit it or not, I think Frank Reich was thinking to himself, okay, we march down the field. It's first and goal at the one. We're pounding this ball in. Let's go. Let's set the physical tone right now. We're going to punch you right in the mouth. One of the NFL's best fronts with the most dominant defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald. And this is what we're going to do to set the tone. And he stubbornly, I think, wanted to run the ball three times
and look
like that and get it and punch it in. And of course, they didn't do it.
The Colts have a big problem. And that big problem, aside from the health of their quarterback, the Colts have a big problem in the fact that their offensive line is a disaster right now.
Yeah.
And that includes both sides of it. The right side, you're moving guys over. The left side.
Yeah, Brain Smith didn't play.
Yeah, I mean, Fisher, I realize it's the first, time that he's been seen, so you get a pass there, but you got to be better on both sides all the way around.
Yeah, Eric Fisher is you on this show. He's physically present, but was he really there? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I felt about that. I don't know, maybe.
Okay. I didn't see him in 55 degree planes.
You had 3.5 NFL linemen on the field yesterday.
Correct.
And that's tough to have that. Julian Davenport, God love him, he's a backup tackle for a reason. A lot of people are saying, well, why didn't they find a backup tackle? Those don't exist.
Well, they do. It's Julian Davenport.
That's the thing. You can barely find, 64 caliber, starting caliber NFL tackles, right and left. they don't exist. It's like quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Right. Like, why don't you have a great backup quarterback? Because great backup quarterbacks, for the most part, don't really exist. So I'm not going to kill Ballard for that one. But you're right. All these things that we thought were strengths for the Colts, notably the offensive line and the interior of their defense, right? The teeth of the defense, the linebacking core, right? We thought it was going to be really good, like Darius Leonard and Bobby Okereke, and it have been severely disappointing so far.
And
it,
two games.
Yes.
But two games can still be a schedule outlier. If four games becomes a pattern.
Well, four games, I mean, if the Colts start 0-4, it's over.
I'm just saying in terms of the problems they have.
Yeah, I agree.
Now,
a month is a good sample size to go on where a team starts to show you who they
correct.
Are.
Correct. One thing that I was thinking about, I looked yesterday, and I'm not trying to compare the level of experience here, but in Chicago, you know, Fields got on the field against Chicago and was not great. He had a QB rating of 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
In Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence was a disaster yesterday. 14-33, he threw three picks.
He had one really nice touchdown throw.
He's got talent.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth.
Don't kid yourself. He's got talent. In New York with the Jets.
Ooh, rough. Yeah.
Young quarterback goes out.
Yeah, Zach Wilson threw like four picks in 10 attempts, I think.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Look, it's the hardest thing to do in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we can knock on, and there is plenty to criticize about Carson Wentz. But even though he is not Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, clearly he is a competent quarterback. And he is a guy that I think he did not look terrible. I think he has already shown in Indianapolis why Chris Ballard decided that that was the guy that they wanted to try to run with.
Yeah.
Because he is mobile. He can get off the hot starts.
He's a great arm.
He does.
He's a great arm.
And so you realize – look, these are really talented guys I'm talking about. Those rookies I just mentioned, all of them, very talented guys. It's a totally different game. The NFL is totally different. And if everybody could just come out and immediately just be on the treadmill and off and running, Peyton Manning in his first year was 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady in his first year was holding a clipboard until Drew Bledsoe got blasted, and then eventually he gets on the field. And now, of course, he is a
and even
a Buccaneer.
And even Brady, Jake, Brady wasn't the Brady that is the all-time great Hall of Fame quarterback until like 5 years in.
Totally.
You know, like,
totally.
Yeah, they won a couple of Super Bowls, but totally. Tom Brady really started to take off and ascend 06-07.
My point simply being, in evaluating Carson Wentz with the Colts or evaluating – Eason. If Wentz is out and Eason comes in and people are going to say, well, he's been there for a year now.
It's a really tough position
to
be in. I think what surprised me about Eason was that he was almost, you know, you had 2 minutes, which is a lot of time. I think they had two timeouts and the warning. He was almost treating it like, hey, there's 40 seconds left and we got to score a touchdown here. Like, just take a bunch of checkdowns.
But you kind of guess
downs,
why,
right?
Don't you? I mean, you can understand why.
I can understand why. I thought that second down throw was way over aggressive.
National Football League quarterback, I've said this on this show or variation of it 100 times, a National Football League backup quarterback is a donut tire. It is a
–
your if it can get you to the next exit or let you finish out the week without major disaster, it has done its job. It is not designed to be – used at the same mileage as the regular tire.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that really with Hasselbeck back in 15. Remember, they won the first couple of games, and then it just kind of ran out.
Speaking
of
tire, have you noticed I'm getting one
here?
You're
fine. No, you're not. I don't think you're fat. You ask me every show, am I fat, am I fat, am I fat? I don't think you're fat.
Really bothering
me. I would rather not have to
go off the beta blockers here in 6 weeks.
But here, while we're talking glass half full and talking people off the ledge.
Get a look at me then.
You know that I was very lukewarm about the Carson Wentz trade when it happened, right? And my bar, again, we're talking about low bars on this show. I guess the show is a low bar. My bar for him was pretty low. But the first thing that I said all offseason was Carson Wentz has to prove that he's not irreparably broken. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't even know why I attempted to say that word, but you get what I mean. And he's proven that, right, in two games. Like in 2020, he was the worst quarterback in the league.
He might have proven that from up here. But what's the other concern with Carson Wentz?
Of course, physically is the concern. But for me, I was actually more concerned with, is Carson Wentz still an NFL starting caliber quarterback? And at the very least, he's proven that. Now, we can get into, you know, how good is Carson Wentz? Can he be top 10? Can he be top 12?
I
think he can be an upper half NFL quarterback. And with the rest of this roster the way that it is, I think that should be good enough for the Colts to be good. I do. I don't think this is a great roster. And I've remained consistent on this. And the 0-2 start has nothing to do with this. I don't think this is a great roster. I think it's a good one. And I think if Wentz can be good, they're fine. The problem is that people here locally made this into like a Super Bowl contending team. And if Wentz is good, oh, they could be a Super Bowl team. And we'll talk about this, Jake, because this is going to be a reoccurring theme. The Colts' big problem is that their best players...
It's just recurring, right?
Yeah.
Did you say reoccurring?
Recurring theme.
But I think you said reoccurring. It's just recurring.
This will be occurring again and again on the program.
Yeah, see, it was an unnecessary and extraneous consonant.
Fine. We'll get that in post, Jordan. All right, 3, 2, 1. this will be a continuing theme on the season and on this show, is that the Colts' best players are at unimportant positions. And, you know, do we need to evaluate where this team is? Because I think we'd all
agree
that... Tell
me unimportant positions.
The depth... Pass rush, so edge, I know you hate that word. Quarterback, even though we think Wentz is going to be pretty good. Dynamic playmaker on offense, who is it? I hope Michael Pittman is a wide receiver one. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's good. Is Jonathan Taylor some game-breaking
and
sort of
Paris
talent?
Kimble,
Shut
Paris,
down
Paris
quarterback.
Kimble again is a question mark here,
you know,
health-wise.
Left tackle, like those are the big, critical, important positions. And instead, you're great at guard. You're great at, you know, defensive tackle, which is, it's great to have DeForest Buckner.
Understood.
But you need somebody that can really kind of disrupt things and get to the quarterback.
That's a fair observation, yeah. You know, the other thing that I thought Indianapolis would be able to do more effectively so far, and until they develop a pass game, this is how it's going to be, I thought they would be a better running attack. I really didn't think this
Yeah, but I think it goes with the line, Jake.
It goes with the line, and it goes with keeping a defense honest. You can load the box at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're an opposing defense, Jake, you can do whatever you want, I think, against this that offensive line the way that it is. I thought the defense kind of found itself yesterday. I do wonder, though, and I know that you weren't able to see the game because you were at IndyCar. I thought Matthew Stafford was off. He wasn't sharp. And if he was sharp, the Rams probably win in a runaway. So I think part of the defensive success was
Stafford.
Do you
have a boo-boo? Did somebody hit
you?
You
had
a fat lip?
Did you see this? No, I didn't get hit.
It looks like maybe somebody might have punched you.
I never get hit. I'm too quick. But I was making pancakes on Saturday, and I got a special pancake-only spatula on Amazon. So it's designed, like NASA designed it, to flip a perfect pancake, right? It's really light, but it's metal.
NASA, Derek. NASA has way bigger things to be worrying about.
But it's
about.
Metal, NASA's and it's not plastic.
NASA is trying to send cameras pictures back from Mars, and you're telling me they're working on a pancake spatula?
Don't quote me on that, but I think that it was from NASA. I went through the reviews, and some of it was
NASA ever going to use a spatula?
Some of it was in Chinese, so I wasn't even sure why they referenced NASA at all.
They drink Tang for breakfast. That's it. The space station, they make a pancake?
Listen, long story short, I had a plastic spatula that was inadequate for flipping pancakes. It just was – it did not flip pancakes well. So I got a metal one.
The pancakes fall off?
So I'm making – No, just I'm not going to get into the inadequacies. If you cook at home like I do, you live in a 2-bedroom apartment alone. You go to Shannon,
you know,
she cooks. Like you never have made anything in your life.
We don't make pancakes.
Making pancakes Saturday, metal spatula, piece of pancake falls off a little bit. It was my fault. The batter, you know, the consistency. I'm still kind of working on the formula.
You know, there's
how I
no
want
nutritional value in a pancake.
Just relax,
it's a
okay? Can I tell my story?
Okay.
So I flip it and a piece breaks off, and I'm like, oh, that looks like a tasty little, you know, kind of. It's cooked just right where it's a little bit crispy on the edges but soft in the middle. So I pick it up with the metal spatula, and just like I used to do with the plastic spatula, I just ate it off of there. The problem is that this is a metal spatula that's been on a hot pan. So I burned the heck out of my – it actually hurts to touch. I put an ointment on it this morning. Burned the heck out of my upper lip. And it sucks for me. I think it's different for me, Jay, because I have very soft lips. So I think that the injury is actually more – I've been told that, at least.
Was there any the burning smell of hair from the stash?
No, it didn't actually. It would have been better if it got up in the mustard's hair. It just got this really soft tissue right here, which it's actually, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because, you know, I have just gorgeous soft lips that, you know, like I said, you know, people have told me that. I don't want to get into further detail. Maybe we could do that off the air if you're really interested, but among the many attributes that I have in that category, that is one of the attributes. And I think that's why it singed a little bit more than a normal lip. Like maybe, I don't know, you don't look like you have nice lips at all. So maybe yours would have been different.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I take really good care of them. I mean, they chap very easily.
As is so evidenced by the fact that you're eating off a hot spatula.
I have a morning ointment. I have good care. A nighttime ointment that I put on them to maintain that. And you can't really see because the mustache
Jack Blacks? Do you use the Jack Blacks?
You could see. Like this
Heels?
Is,
do you use
really
the Keels?
Nice. Really nice. I don't know what that is. My stuff is prescription grade.
I rest my case. What do we have to get to today? We got a lot to get to.
Yeah, we have a ton to touch on. We'll talk more Colts. And where do they go from here? Because next week at Nashville is really kind of a already. I know it's September and it's overreaction still. It's a season-defining game for the most part for them with where
certainly
they are right now.
It feels like a boulder in the stream, yes.
100%. Indiana just blew a really big opportunity on Saturday. And I'll admit, I got the wrong read on the Purdue-Notre Dame game.
You did.
Got the wrong read.
Telling you about Notre Dame. I'm gonna tell you again about Notre Dame.
So we'll talk about that as well.
All right.
It's Query and Schultz, episode 53, and it continues next here on ISC Sports Network.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned, and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Shot at the buzzer. Got it! She got it! My goodness, what a
Brady.
Shot!
Hello! Did it again. Hello! Made the highlight reel again.
That goes to Metzger.
Whoa,
and all kinds of room to run. Down the middle of the field, and he will not be touched. Jackson, hello!
There we go.
Stokes throws it. Caught, ball, ricochets!
Wow.
A huge hit!
Wow.
This has been an amazing display of goal scoring.
Back on Query and Schultz here on ISC Sports Network alongside a very sleepy Jay Query. I'm Derek Schultz.
Do I appear sleepy?
No, you actually seem fine. Okay. If you didn't say anything, I wouldn't have known.
Really?
I mean, outside of the spare tire on here.
The spare tire is bothering me. But here's the thing.
You look fine.
I am sleepy because I came in on a red eye from the West Coast. But could have been that I was up all night maybe studying. That's because WGU, you could do that. Whether or not WGU, the beauty of WGU Indiana is that WGU is, of course, the largest online accredited university here in the state of Indiana. But it allows you to work at your schedule. That's the beauty of WGU. Whether you are looking to go back to school, whether you maybe had a degree that 20 years ago you put on the shelf, life got in the way, you want to complete that, or you're just now thinking about, for the first time, venturing into an education beyond your high school. That's what WGU has for you. Ambition never rests with WGU. Make your own schedule. Do it on your time. Plenty of degrees to choose from. WGU.edu/Indiana for Indiana's largest online accredited university, Derek.
And they're great. They've been great partners really from day one of
Absolutely.
Us. So basically a full year on board, Corey Elliott and the rest of the crew over there at WGU.
We are very
Indiana.
Proud and appreciative to have WGU on board with us.
We'll circle back to the NFL stuff, but let's talk college football because it was a really big Saturday for both Indiana and Purdue. I think even more so for Indiana. Purdue was in a little bit more of a house money sort of situation game. That was a game I don't want to say that Indiana necessarily needed, but the way that it played out, Jake, and again, you were at the IndyCar weekend, so I don't know how much you watched. They dominated the first half of that game. And you have the best crowd, certainly since the Mowry era, and probably the best Indiana home football crowd in their modern history.
Right.
Packed to the gills, loud. Cincinnati's offense couldn't do anything. And there was an opportunity there, I think, for IU to land the knockout blow, and it never came.
You know, Indiana, I think Indiana's offensively the opposite of the Colts. In the standpoint of the Colts, what were we saying is the fact that I thought the Colts were going to be able to run the ball more effectively early in the year. And yes, Derek, you are right. The lack of offensive line at this point is really, really holding the Colts back. For Indiana, even though coming off of injury, I think I am guilty as well, but I think a lot of people felt like I didn't expect him to be right back into, you know, full form. But Michael Penix, Indiana now, Tom Allen's making a lot of money. He's making a lot more money than he was 2 years ago. And part of getting that big check is knowing when to make the right decisions and when to make the right calls. Indiana is teetering, Derek, on getting to the position in the season where they've got to make a change and put Tuttle in at quarterback. It's a different style of offensive play, but Penix has been so wildly inconsistent. Not necessarily at his fault. I think he probably is still injured, but he can't create with his legs now, or he's hesitant to, understandably so. And so he's being forced to basically throw. Well, being a throwing quarterback is completely different when the defense knows you are going to throw and that your legs are not going to extend plays for you. And he's struggling. And their offense as a result is struggling. And Indiana just looks like they can't get it into gear. They just can't get things going. Now, the schedule gives them a little bit of a reprieve here, but it is really close for Indiana, that boulder in the stream, as we talked about, of the season going one of two ways. Indiana's is I thought they needed to get one of those two. Iowa or Cincinnati, they had to get one of the two.
Yeah.
They go
I had them 8-4, and I thought they'd split those games. But now you look, Michigan State's now a top 20 team with what they've done. You weren't expecting Michigan State to be very good. I think Purdue is better, at least has looked better than what some of the tepid expectations for Purdue, and you have to go there.
Right.
For the bucket game, you have to go to Happy Valley. You have to go at Michigan. Ohio State, it's not easy. It's not an easy path for Indiana. Penix just looks broken.
He does.
He's thrown 6 interceptions in the start of the season here. He threw 8 in the previous 3 years combined.
Yeah.
Like, that was never – turnovers were never a bugaboo for him. And I agree with you. You've got a very talented QB2 and Jack Tuttle. I think you got to make that move now, though. The reason that I say that is that they've got somebody bad this weekend. I got to look it up. They've got kind of one of
the – Western Kentucky?
Yeah. And I don't think they're very good.
Is it Western Kentucky?
So I don't ever want to say gimme game, and I feel weird saying gimme game with Indiana football ever. But they have one of the lesser opponents that they're going to face this season. And I would hate for Penix to go out there and throw for like 250 and 2 touchdowns, and then suddenly you convince yourself, hey, see, he's ready to go.
Right.
Because he didn't look good against Idaho either. I mean, really, Indiana ran over them, but he didn't look good against Idaho. He hasn't looked good at any point so far this season. So I think you got to make that move now and try to salvage the year. It would do so much harm, Jake, to Indiana to have like a 5-7 season coming off what they just did, where you've built it up, and you've got all this momentum and all this buzz, and then to just come crashing back down to earth and have all the naysayers come out and say, LOL, same old Indiana football, right, would be hugely detrimental to them.
Idaho's the Vandals, right?
Yeah.
Were you surprised that they're not more effective at takeaways? Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I mean, it would.
Okay, good
right?
joke.
No, it's logical, right?
Yeah.
If Vandals were on boats, what would they be?
Okay, you know the answer to that question, so I'm not going to. I am not going to say.
Pirates!
I'm not going to say that word on today's
what
show.
What word?
The P word.
Oh.
I'm not going to say it. I will not say it on the show today. I will not do that for you.
Okay.
No. Shifting over to Purdue and Notre Dame. Two areas where I thought, in fact, enough for me to actually pick.
Did you ever steal music illegally that was downloaded?
Yes.
What's that called?
I'm not going to say it. Again, I'm not going to say the word.
Okay.
But yeah, Napster was like the best thing. Napster, LimeWire, Kazaa, all that stuff. I had all that stuff on my computer. I was right there. Like Napster came out when I was a senior in high school. So that was like right in my wheelhouse of, oh my God, like you can find all this stuff online. The internet was a very different place back then. So it was shocking that you could download all that stuff.
A lot of what was going on.
No, I'm not going to I'm not going to say the word. I'm not going to.
Okay.
Shifting over to Purdue and Notre Dame. The reason why I was confident, in fact, I weirdly thought all week that Purdue was going to win. And I wasn't trying to base that on Oregon State and UConn because Oregon State's not very good and UConn stinks. But I thought that Purdue matched up well in that their big playability with David Bell and their defensive front against what had been an overwhelmed Notre Dame offensive line against two not very good teams in the first 2 weeks in Florida State and Toledo. And yet, both of those things never really came to fruition. Notre Dame really did a nice job of limiting David. He had that one spectacular catch, and I know he left the game with injury. Thank God it sounds like he's going to be okay. Right. That was really scary. But he had that one catch and didn't really do much else. And Purdue's front had some success. You know, Notre Dame didn't run the ball great. They had the big play with Kyren Williams that really kind of broke the game open. But for the most part, those two areas were areas that Notre Dame neutralized, and I know that it was kind of a close game. Jack Cohn missed on a couple of home run throws that really would have and Lindsey had the drop in the end zone. I mean, that very easily could have been a three-touchdown
victory. Notre Dame is going to end up in the college football playoff.
No, they're not.
Well,
they're not.
If they go undefeated, they're in.
Probably, but they're not going to go undefeated.
Who's going to beat them?
They're going to get beat, Jake. They're just they have a lot of teams on their schedule that are their peers. Like, I would put them on the same level right now with Wisconsin and Virginia Tech and
That's fair.
Those teams.
So you think one of those will
– I do think that. Okay. I think this is a 9-ish win Notre Dame team. The weird thing right now about college football is that everybody, even Alabama, looks beatable.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Oklahoma and Nebraska was a fairly close game.
Oklahoma – has really not been impressive. And
how about
Spencer
Clemson?
Rattler.
Clemson was lucky to survive Georgia
Tech.
And
you know this, Jake. Georgia Tech is bad.
I know.
Like, they're not,
oh, I know.
They're not
no
okay.
Question.
Like, you know, if Clemson did that against Boston College, you'd kind of say, okay, that happens.
Clemson,
it's a long
Clemson
season.
Clemson has no offensive line either.
Georgia Tech stinks.
Yeah.
And Ohio State has real problems right now, too.
Yeah, what's with Ohio State? I mean, you're going up against a Tulsa team that was 0-2, I believe. That lost to one of the teams that Tulsa lost to. I'm like, wait, do they play football there? and Ohio State struggling the most of the game. Now they end up making it lopsided at the end, but way closer than it should have been.
Of the teams that have really kind of impressed so far, I think you'd have to say Alabama, Georgia. Iowa didn't play particularly well, but Iowa's not really built to, like, run away and hide from people, you know? I just think the two wins that Iowa has are pretty impressive. They just destroyed Indiana,
right.
And then they really kind of kept Iowa State at their arm's length that entire game.
But Iowa's another one. I mean, they're not going to run the table, right?
I don't think so.
By the way, have you seen – you were talking about Purdue. Have you seen Purdue's baseball program?
Well, yeah. I know it exists.
Is that what you mean? But do you ever see anybody that's wearing a Purdue baseball hat?
No. They've produced some MLB players, but I've never seen a Purdue
You've never seen
hat.
A Purdue baseball hat? No. Google Purdue baseball hat.
Is it cool? Is it just the Purdue P? What is it?
I want you to see what you think of it. This is the Purdue baseball program, their uniforms. I know you like Purdue Pete a lot, but let's see.
It's all the regular P.
No, that's not it. No, you got to put in the baseball.
Baseball hat. What do you want me to type in?
Purdue baseball. Just put Purdue baseball.
Purdue baseball.
There's a
I mean, what, you know, Purdue baseball hat that Jake Query likes. All of their players are wearing the hat with the Purdue P.
They've redone the hat.
What? This is their logo, Jake. This has always been their logo.
No, it's not. Put in 1995 Purdue baseball.
Oh my God.
Or 2000.
Purdue baseball 1995. The hat that Jake Query likes.
Yeah, hold on.
Enter.
Let's see.
What do you want me to do here, man?
When did they redo
Here's
this?
One with the train with the Boilermaker special. Is that
no,
what you mean?
No, they've redone these forever. They had the replica hats of a major league franchise.
Why are you sabotaging the show?
I'm just saying they had a mate. They had a. Let me. I'll find it and we'll come back to that. Table
what a
that.
Weird, like random.
Well, for now it is, but then but the payoff. The payoff is where people
the
say.
The payoff always stinks.
The payoff always stinks. And then they say to themselves, Derek, because I get emails about this a lot, and we've had meetings about it. The payoff is where people go, and that guy's doing that on no sleep.
You think it's great, but the payoff stinks.
If you
okay,
think so.
So wrapping up, Indiana, I think it's time to if you especially had them in like the 10 win, you know, that ain't happening. You really need to adjust your expectations there. But I still think that Indiana has a path forward. It's just their margin for error is like zero now. And their schedule looks tough. I think Purdue's going to be fine. The name of the game for Purdue is bowl eligibility. For a long time, it was for Indiana. It was get to six. I don't care how, just get there. And that's where I'm at with Purdue. And I think Notre Dame, this is a season-defining stretch, starting with Wisconsin at Lambeau. If they could find a way to get through this stretch 3-2, I think that they're right in line to have potentially a 10-win season.
Do you think – is Indiana at risk of not being bowl eligible?
I'm not ready to go there yet. They still have a lot of talent. But, yeah, I don't think anything is off the table. If Penix is going to be this bad and they're going to stubbornly stick with them, then they can lose a lot.
Here's the legendary Purdue uniform.
I don't get what even made this pop into your head? We weren't talking about Purdue baseball.
I'd like to know. When you see that hat, you think of what team?
That's not a Purdue hat.
Who is it?
It's a Pittsburgh hat.
Pittsburgh what?
The Pittsburgh Major League Baseball franchise.
Which is?
Hat. The Bucks.
Bucks?
Yeah.
What is a buck?
B-U-C-S?
No, a buck is an assistant, is it not?
No.
Yeah, a buck is an assistant to the main guy.
What is this? Like you're pulling rank of...
You're a Buccaneer, which would make me what?
That's not true.
Okay.
First off, we're equals. Second, there's not a rank on a P ship. There's not like a ranking system. Yeah, it's not like first lieutenant
Look up Buccaneer.
You know, the guy that swabs the
Up Buccaneer. I'm fairly certain the Buccaneer is the trusted. Robin would be a Buccaneer if Batman was a pirate.
Buccaneer definition.
Okay.
A P word. Originally of the Spanish American coast. A daring, adventurous, and sometimes reckless person, especially in business.
So wait a minute. So a Buccaneer.
So like the voicemail guy would be a Buccaneer.
So
what's his face? The guy that was from here.
So a Buccaneer, Scott Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a Buccaneer is just a pirate from a different region.
Yeah.
So this is like Typhoon and Hurricane.
I guess. Or no, whiskey and bourbon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Not all Buccaneers are pirates, but all
there
pirates are Buccaneers.
Yeah. Okay, good. We solved the Rubik's Cube here. Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
What do we have to get to next?
All of our features.
Okay.
And we've got other stuff to touch on as well. I do want to at least make mention. I feel bad because it becomes kind of white noise when football starts, but the IndyCar weekend as well, you know, the points, the finale coming up and the points championship.
Alex Palou, point leader Spaniard, if he was a pirate, apparently he'd be a Buccaneer.
Apparently. So I guess we'll keep talking about that crap, too. It's Corey and Schultz here on ISC Sports
that
Network.
That crap, too. Okay.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
McCulley in time!
Oh, no!
It's good.
This one is good!
There you go.
Oh, wow, Dawson makes a great catch.
Spin, win, three, bury it for Leland Walker.
Tie the game they do with a dunk by Malik Edmonds. What a play.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel a little momentum starting to fall LN's way.
Got it in the air. Wrestler! Wrestler!
Whoa!
Welcome back. It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network. Thanks so much for joining us on this lovely Monday evening, even though it's a losing college football weekend. I guess unless you were a Notre Dame or Indiana State. Even Ball State got beat up pretty good at Wyoming.
Wyoming?
Yeah. Beat them up pretty good.
Yeah. I was with Alex Wolf, who was a Ball State guy, and I said, hey, look up the Ball State score. And I really did think that Ball State between Wyoming or Penn State was going to get one of those two. And he told me, he goes, well, there's 57 total points scored. I said, 30-27, Ball State won. No, that's not it.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they weren't going to win in Happy Valley, but I was hoping they'd have a better performance in Wyoming.
But Wyoming laid a lot of points on them.
They did, for sure. Our IMCU Player of the Week. It was a little bit easier to find one. I don't think there was any standout performers last week in that loss to Seattle. I think this was a more encouraging performance for the Colts. And that's what we're doing with Indiana Members Credit Union, kind of making it a Colt Player of the Week because it says Indiana in their name, right?
That's right.
Local businesses, and that's what we like to support, Indiana. That's what we're all about. And so are the folks at IMCU. Michael Pittman had a really big day. They really need him to be a wide receiver one. And six catches, 128 yards, showed some of that playmaking ability. I think he's going to be a really good NFL. I'm not sure that he's a true, like, dynamic number one type player, but I think he's going to be a really good and productive receiver
like
for a long time.
I like him because he can be a stretch receiver for you, but he also is a guy that you can work into, you know, slants and across, almost a possession guy that then you get in space because with his speed he can go beyond that. You know what I mean? So you can run him in a crossing route. You can run him deep. I think he's got a lot of versatility and showed a lot of promise. You and I talked about it, Derek, last year as a rookie. There was enough there to look at and say, okay, this guy's, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, the bummer of it is that, you know, you lose Paris Campbell again. He had an abdomen injury, didn't play, and it's just, you hate to bury the kid, right? But it's just one thing after another with him, and if he can't be healthy, then.
And I want to make sure.
What are we doing?
That I'm clear here. This, in no way, shape, or form is this an indictment at all on Ohio State. It's not. I mean, it literally is a fluke thing. But it is bizarre, the Colts' health history with former Ohio State players.
Yeah.
I mean, from – now, who's the fellow that was a video game addict?
Quinn Pitcock.
Was he Georgia or Ohio State?
No, he was Ohio State, if I remember right. Yeah.
But Anthony Gonzalez, Roy Hall, Mike Doss to an extent. He was a decent player. But
Malik Hooker. Yeah.
Jack Muhort.
Oh, God. I didn't mention. Forgot about
Paris Campbell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. I hadn't really thought, wow, just – kind of awestrucks me whenever you bring up something good on the show.
It's all right here.
Yeah.
It's all right here.
But Campbell, you know, speaking of Ohio State, Terry McLaurin, who's right here from Indy, is really having a nice start to his career in Washington.
Player.
Really good player. And DK Metcalf. And the real bummer of it, Jake, is A.J. Brown, who they're going to see this week with Tennessee. As good as that 2018 second round was, if the 2019 second round, the current trajectories are going to stick for Paris Campbell and Ben Banigou, ooh, that's a big, big whiff for Chris Ballard. Big whiff.
Now, you know, when
Banigou, I don't even know, did Ben Banigou play yesterday? I didn't even look at snap counts. Like, he's not even being mentioned right now.
I mean,
like,
the fact that he's even on
the healthy 53-man is, I guess, an accomplishment for him.
In talking about players around the league, and one of them we're going to get to in Derek Carr. Did you watch? I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it. Did you watch the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning Monday Night Football?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I forgot that was after last night's.
Here are the two questions I have about it. Number one, it was fabulously entertaining and informative. And I mean, it was great. Now, I talked to Chris Hagan about this, and I think Hagan made an interesting point when he and I were talking. He said, it is awesome to watch unless you were a fan of one of the two teams playing, because then you do probably want to hear more about the game itself.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
But, you know, it was just like sitting around in a bar listening to those guys talk, right? Two things here. Number one, does it have staying power? You know, everybody is sending out stuff. Oh, my gosh, this is amazing. This is incredible. What great stories.
I think as an alternate broadcast, which is what it is,
right?
I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do.
Number two,
I don't think you needed Eli.
I
think you could rotate in Eli or have Peyton do it with Ray Lewis, and next week Peyton does it with Charles Woodson. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I think, the formula.
No.
I don't think you do Peyton and Eli every week.
Eli,
I think that
was
would get
good,
old.
Though, because he's kind of the straight man.
But don't you agree? Like, I think so that
I sent a tweet that
Peyton
said that.
Would be the centerpiece.
I sent a tweet that said, having nothing to do with Eli Manning at all, nothing against him.
And you'd have a rotating panel of other guests to join him.
My other question is this. Did anybody else notice this? The audio engineer of it, they changed something. And by the fourth quarter, in particular when Russell Wilson was on, the gnats of the game were louder than the players. And so I'm trying to turn up like Peyton and Russell Wilson to hear what they're saying.
But you're actually turning up the game.
But it's turning up the game. And I'm like, no, I want to hear what these guys are saying. Yeah. It was hard to understand them a few times.
I stopped because I actually wanted the game. I flipped to the game broadcast when things got close because I actually wanted – that's what I wanted instead. But I watched for three quarters. I think it has I think it has staying power for sure. I think the difference – you know, what's so interesting to me is that – and I'm not knocking anybody that does this. I think it's great that fans and media are so knowledgeable now and all 22 and all of that. You could watch 24/7, 365. All you could do is watch tape. And you could know ins and outs, X's and O's, blueprint, and map out exactly what everybody can do. There's a difference between knowing what's going on and knowing what's going on. I think the big thing that Peyton and Eli bring is that they lived it. So they really, really have. Well, you can't implement that sort of football knowledge and understanding into somebody that's never done it before.
You know, two things about quarterbacks that I think are really easy for guys like us or fans in general to not grasp. The first is how intricate it is. And you get that when you watch Peyton Manning. And I realize we're talking about the most intricate understanding in the history of the game. But Peyton and Eli are talking, and you know, and Ray Lewis, and they're talking about formations and, you know, who's the mic and sliding over. And, you know, and you're thinking, you got like 8 seconds to process all that. It's mind-blowing. The second is how well a quarterback commands his teammates. And whether or not, when he walks into the room, everybody stops to make sure that they are doing what they need to help their team win because the quarterback is monitoring them. Peyton had that for certain. Yeah. A guy that I think has the respect of his teammates that I watched in that game, and I watched the way he handled himself in the interviews afterwards. Is he the best player in the world? Probably not. But I just have a ton of respect for the approach that Derek Carr has and the way that his teammates seemingly want to play for him and not let him down. And there was a lot of talk, Derek, about the Las Vegas Raiders moving on from Derek Carr when they made the move to Las Vegas, you know, now that fans are in the stadium and everything else. But as we do our Sage Move of the Week each and every week, brought to you by WGU, again, a Sage Move is going back to school, for example, or going online to wgu.edu/Indiana for Indiana's largest online accredited university. Pretty sage if you want to do that, and ambition never rests, and so therefore, on your own schedule, you can go back and get that degree. But they bring us each and every week our Sage Move of the Week. I think for the Raiders, it's pretty sage to stand by Derek Carr because it's paying off for them right now.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about him getting traded and the Colts and you know, linked with all of that. So I don't know how serious they got, but he's been a good player, you know. I just don't think that in this era, Jake, especially with what Tom Brady has done, you know, people act like, well, that should be normal. That's completely abnormal, what he's done. We'll never see that again. I don't think anybody is going to ever be a 7-time Super Bowl champion winning quarterback. It sounds ridiculous to even say it out loud. There were many guys back in the era, you know, I don't want to turn this into back in my day, but in our era that had really nice careers that were appreciated for those nice careers. For me, Phil Simms was kind of that guy with the Giants, right? And I get that the Giants won a Super Bowl with Phil Simms. Ken Anderson, he won an MVP.
He
had that great, great year in 81. But Ken Anderson was never Dan Marino or anything like that, but he was a really nice quarterback. And, you know, that's kind of how I view – Matt Stafford is the same thing to me. Stafford and Carr are two guys that are just kind of in this, like, middle tier where – they're not elite necessarily, but they've always been good, and I think they've made their teams pretty good.
I thought Stafford,
all things considered,
I thought Stafford is looking really good now, though, that he has some competition.
I agree,
with him.
And, but you know, historically speaking, Carr has been with a better franchise. You know, we're comparing the Raiders to the Lions, so it's not like we're talking about two world beaters here. Right. But the Raiders, at least in their careers, the two careers have put some more talent around Carr.
You know, the Raiders, that guy on the helmet, Stafford he's got the eye patch.
Yeah.
Typically, eye patch is reserved for what other group of vandals, if you will?
Well, I wore one for a while. I had a lazy eye that was being corrected, but I was not a vandal.
You wore an eye patch?
Yeah.
What grade?
Second and third and parts of fourth.
That must have made for an easy Halloween costume.
No, I was a football player for Halloween. I was Dick Tracy for Halloween. I was never actually a P-word. No. And I could have been. I mean, the eye patch was, you know, not to be blunt, it was badass. I mean, I looked okay. Really cool with the eye patch, and other people, I think, in school respected me. Because almost no one talked to me in second, third, and fourth grade. So I think that had something to do with that.
Because of the eye patch?
I don't know. That's what I was.
Eye contact was hard?
I don't know. I'm a really cool, engaging person. Like, I don't know why nobody wanted to sit at lunch with me. I think they were intimidated.
Okay. And what was the purpose of the eye patch?
I was never really told that. I don't know. I just know I had a lazy eye. It would kind of just wander off. I can't even do it now because I have just beautiful eyes now and soft lips. But it used to just wander off.
Your eye would wander off. You had a wandering eye.
Well, no, Jake. It wouldn't like physically
be removed from
my eye socket.
Did that become an issue with you later
socket.
In life by any chance? Some of the girls that broke up with you, Katie Kolesky, did she know about your wandering eye? Is that why she never actually
No, everything was corrected by then. That was just, I just fell short in those areas.
Literally.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What do we have to get to here to wrap up?
Some more features. Well, not wrap up yet. Just well, relax. You always want to wrap up the show. I know you want to get to sleep, but this is, this is like the highlight of my week.
I enjoyed
love that play.
Okay.
Biter Bowl Bleep. And are we missing anything? Oh, and we'll go kind of just week two NFL observations as well.
Are we doing quick hits?
And quick hits, yep. Don't touch me. It's Corey and Schultz. Especially you've been on an airplane. It's disgusting. ISC Sports
I took
Network.
Airborne.
Ugh.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz. Within the last 30 minutes or so in Bloomington, Tom Allen, head football coach, Indiana University, saying Michael Penix is my quarterback and I believe in him 100%.
Ooh. I think, and this is similar to Chuck Pagano, there is a fine line between a head coach that is super faithful and confident in his players and one that gets burned by that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Pagano was such a positive thinker. Well, I trust this. I trust this. I have faith in this. He'd kind of throw logic out the window. And that turned him into what I thought was a very mediocre head coach. And I'm worried about that happening with Allen. I think that faith and confidence has endeared him to his locker room. But this is a business, man, and you have to make decisions based on what you think is best for your football team. And Penix, this is not one quarter. This is not one game.
You're right.
He's played three games. And he has not looked good.
He doesn't look healthy either.
He doesn't even look like he knows what he's doing. And that's the most – I feel terrible for him because here's this dynamic player. He threw for like 7,000 yards at Ohio State last year, and you thought that he was maybe an NFL – caliber draft pick.
Again, Derek,
Jake, I wonder if the injuries just added up too much.
That's what I think it is. I think that he set up his arm via his, I mean, he was a dual threat quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not now. Now, if Tom Allen is sitting there and he says, hey, I got a decision to make and I'm going with the decision. Michael Penix is my guy. You know, we've heard this before from coaches, but I believe in him 100%. That's cool. When it comes to decisions about what you should do if you are in the housing market, Derek, and you're looking for a mortgage loan, easiest decision.
Oh, it's Bailey and Wood. Yeah.
Easiest
Bailey and Wood, Indiana's hometown mortgage lender. Give him a call at 855-350-HOME, BAWFG.com.
Slower on the phone number, please.
855-350-HOME, BAWFG.com.
BAWFG.
Yep.
BAWFG.
Looking to refinance, looking to get pre-approval, go through them. Mortgages in a snap. Thanks to Jeff Saturday. And I want to throw Mike Wood a little bit extra love. He and the kiddos flew down to Miami, as they do often. I think he's a season ticket holder for the Dolphins. Huge, huge. He's the biggest Dolphins fan I know. That's a tough game to sit through. 35 donut to the Bills.
Donut.
Yeah. 35 donut.
Okay. Yeah, Buffalo, talk about bouncing back.
How about this? And I'm a, you know me, Jake. I do still have some affinity for Notre Dame. I don't think you ever really lose that. But my fandom has kind of gone like this over the years because I've just sort of grown out of it. But when I was still a rabid Notre Dame football fan, my cousin, who was in Brooklyn at the time, he's in California now, he flew out twice to see Notre Dame play USC, and they lost 45-14 and 38-0. This was like the Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, like loaded USC teams, just destroyed Notre Dame. And you've been to games. I mean, you went to the Pacers games during the Brown Curtain era.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's the worst thing in the world to be at a game where your team just gets completely stomped.
I went to a Clemson game at North Carolina
State.
It's
the worst.
Walked into the stadium, and they were down 24-3 in the first.
As a visiting fan, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I went to the Giants-Colts 2010 game, the home opener, Sunday Night Football, Peyton Manning's last season. And Manning threw like 6 touchdown passes, and they ran all over the Giants, and it was horrible. Colts fans were really nice to me, but it was horrible. Awful. Yes. Bailey and Wood, not awful. BAWFG.
That's right.
855.
They are nice to you as well.
But I'm sorry, Mike, about the Finns. Hopefully they'll recover here because that was – and Jacoby Brissett was out there.
Really?
Yeah, because Tua got hurt. Threw 40 times for like 140 yards.
There were a lot of bad quarterbacking performances yesterday. A lot of them. Yeah. So we wouldn't pick a Love That Play from a quarterbacking performance yesterday. But Love That Play is brought to you each and every week by the good guys at Love Heating and Air Conditioning. It is upon us, and by that I mean autumn, which means before you know it, cold weather. Want to make sure the furnace is going, maybe get it checked or cleaned, or you might just simply be in the market for a new air conditioning unit or new furnace. Love Heating and Air has been around for over 100 years in Indiana. Love-HVAC.com is their website. 317-353-2141. 353-2141 for Love Heating and Air Conditioning. Again, great product. Quality of product and knowledge of product is important. Family values, that's why they've been around for over 100 years. Derek, our Love That Play is?
Well, I thought you would like this because there was a time in your life when you were at RTV6 where you got up in the helicopter and you did the Friday Night Football stuff. And that was a cool time around the turn of the century because we had one of the greatest teams that has ever played in Indianapolis and Ben Davis with James Banks and one of the really great high school players of all time. Certainly from an athletic standpoint, I'm not sure he has an equal. But Ben Davis and Warren, who was just kind of coming into their own around that time, and then, of course, you know, Darren Evans and all those great teams in the 2000s that ran off a dynasty of state championships. One of the great rivalries in Indiana. 9 championships on each side, Ben Davis and Warren. They played Friday night. I was actually on the ISC game crew for this game. Greg Rakestraw, our buddy, had the call. 57-56 was the final. Ben Davis led 56-43 with a minute left. And Warren marched down the field, scored a touchdown, recovered the onside kick, threw a long pass, and then scored the game-winning touchdown. Here's the onside kick right here. And how about this? J.C. Merchant, their kicker, as you could probably tell from the name, is female. And she connected on all 7 of her extra points, and that ended up being the winning margin.
How about that pass?
Yeah, because Ben Davis actually – and that's their backup. That's their backup quarterback that did that. Ben Davis actually missed an extra point. They had a couple other two-point conversions. So if Merchant, there's her kick there, doesn't connect on all 7, that game goes into overtime and potentially they lose. But 57-50, there was like 1,000 yards of offense. It was an incredible game.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the pass play alone was.
Yeah, it was a strike.
Onside kicks, Well, Georgia Tech. I'm listening. I drove on Saturday after the qualifying for IndyCar. I was in Monterey, California, and drove 2 hours and 15 minutes south of Monterey to the intersection of California State Road 46 and California State Road 41, which is where James Dean was fatally injured in September of 1955. So I listened to the Clemson game on the drive down, and Georgia Tech went for an onside kick late, got it. Derek, when somebody lines up for an onside kick, you're thinking to yourself, you're like, well, they get the onside, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, Clemson, they're going to onside, Clemson's going to get it, and the game's over.
Yeah, you still have to score.
No, I'm saying, like, as the team who is holding on, when someone onsides against you, you just take for granted. There's no way they're actually going to recover the onside
kick. I always panic. I hate onside kicks. When I have the lead and you have to recover it, it's the most nerve-wracking thing that there is to me as a sports fan. Hate it.
Because you always are convinced somebody's going to hank basket it?
That and lining up for what is a game-winning field goal where you're trailing.
Right.
Those are it's just the worst. Like, I even when it's like from 26 yards.
Did you see the Vikings?
Yeah.
Did you hear the announcers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thought it was good.
I can't. We've had Paul Allen on the show. He has a wonderful voice. He's a great, great broadcaster. And I don't mean this to be critical. Different strokes for different folks. Fans, I know, connect with this. I don't like it when a play-by-play announcer is very, very emotionally invested in the game.
Right.
It is a big turnoff for me.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree.
It's great to hear the homer calls and all that when somebody wins or somebody loses. No, what's happening? And Paul Allen's had a few of those over the years. But, yeah. They had a collapse against the Cardinals where they gave up a Hail Mary, and it's epic. Look up Paul Allen, Arizona Cardinals, when you get a second.
Well, didn't
hear that
call. Need the one when Brett Favre threw a pick and he was not happy?
That too. Yeah, in the NFC Championship game against the Saints, who went on to beat the Colts.
We got to end it up with Byard or Bullshultz, right?
We do. And then quick hits. Yeah. Quick hits, Byard or Bullbleed. We'll come back and wrap up this show next. It's Corey and Schultz.
Even in my fatigue, I'm quick.
What is that?
It's my quick hits.
Your stance is all off.
Well, I don't usually punch that.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
Shot at the buzzer. Got it! She got it! Oh my goodness, what a shot!
Hello!
Did it again.
Hello!
Made the highlight reel again.
That goes to Metzger.
Whoa, touchdown.
Kind of room to run. Down the middle of the field, and he will not be touched. Jackson, hello!
There we go.
Stokes throws it. Caught, ball, ricochets!
Wow.
A huge hit!
Wow.
This has been an amazing display of goal scoring.
We're back for a final time on Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network. New night, new time, 7:30 Monday. Appreciate you joining us. Whether you're watching on Comcast Channel 81 in Indiana or parts of Michigan or Ohio, ISCSportsNetwork.com.
Do you think Matthew's watching
Sports
in Maine?
Network, Twitter. Oh, he watches every week. ISC Sports Network Facebook, Corey and Schultz Facebook, Corey and Schultz YouTube. Maybe you're listening to the podcast, so you can't even see us right now, so you have no idea what I'm doing, which is too bad because I'm wearing a really tight shirt, so.
Is that from the shop?
Yeah, I just wanted to pick an Indiana school that won over the weekend. So this is the one that I chose.
Okay.
Butler hung 77 on Taylor.
Nice.
Yeah. So good for the Dogs.
I was a first team Taylor basketball camp performer in 1983.
Wow. I was the 1991 St. Joseph High School Metro Area Summer Basketball Camp Hotshot and Knockout Champion in 1991. So
okay. How many were there?
It was an elite camp. St. Joseph's is historically one of the great basketball programs in the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah. Coach V said I was a rising star. Problem is, that was fourth grade, and I didn't hit puberty until...
Eighth?
More like 11th.
Didn't your parents send you to a...
I don't want to talk about it.
You were taking steroids, right?
I don't want to talk about it.
I think you were, right?
I don't want to talk about a testosterone clinic or anywhere that I might have gone as a kid because they were worried about the delay in my biological response. So, as you can see, everything ended up turning out okay. I didn't need any drugs for this, baby. This is all natural.
You have a squirrel living in under that shirt. That is
horrible. I'm actually, now that it's the winter months, it actually grows a little bit more, a little bit thicker. So there's a whole thicket right here because my body is preparing for that. The problem is that it's also doing that in other areas. So I have to adjust things there. But they make trimmers and all that for
okay.
Yeah.
Can we get to Biter Bowl?
I have really sensitive skin, so I use a special shaving cream. So, can take care of all of that. You asked.
I didn't.
Okay, well, then if it's
you
two
just
girls,
volunteered it.
We're just two guys having a discussion about guy stuff. Like this is a sports show. It's also a guy show. Two guys talking about stuff.
Okay.
We talked about your heart for like 6 months. God, I didn't complain once.
1 year anniversary is coming up.
I know. It's hard to believe it's been a full year.
Plan accordingly.
Chateau Kitchens brings you this final portion of the program.
And I'm sure they're thrilled they do.
ChateauKitchens.com, at Chateau Kitchens.
Just out of curiosity, do they work on bathroom drains?
It's funny that you say that. At Chateau Kitchens of Facebook, they do anything and everything in the interior of the home.
Okay.
Bathrooms, basements. I know it says kitchens in their name, and that is the go-to, and that's what they did at my house, Chateau Kitchens, our kitchen. But they can do anything. Home remodeling, cabinetry, the whole nine yards. Give them a shout. Steven and his team are going to take care of you, and they'll have somebody with you every step of the way, a project manager.
Matthew likes it when
they oversee everything. They map out a blueprint. It's an unbelievable, awesome, professional operation over there with Chateau Kitchens.
Okay.
Quick hits time. You
sure.
Ready for that? I'm trying to get Chateau to sponsor that. So far, they've declined for some reason.
I wonder why.
I don't know why they would decline. Quick hits is awesome. Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State each slipped in the polls after unimpressive performances. You mentioned the Georgia Tech one, and I guess we talked about Clemson, but Oklahoma even was a 22.5-point favorite against Nebraska, and they ended up hanging on to win by a touchdown.
Here's the thing, though. It doesn't matter much because if you look at the teams that are in front of those schools, they're going to cannibalize one another.
Yeah.
So long as the polls
don't matter.
What's that?
The polls don't matter
in
general.
Ohio State and Clemson has not been impressive. Clemson is clearly struggling. But their schedule is such that they're going to be right in the mix, yeah. Right? And so I think Clemson's going to stub their toe, but look at who's in front of them. What, Iowa? Cincinnati.
Cincinnati's still going to go out. Notre Dame.
I mean,
Cincinnati's got
Georgia and Alabama, yeah. Right? They're going to cancel each other out. They could both get in, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. If Georgia wins the SEC and that's Alabama's only loss, they're both in.
Where is Wisconsin?
They're back a little ways.
Loss,
Penn
right?
State's right there now.
Penn State,
Penn State had a nice win over Auburn, and they're right in the mix.
Penn State, you got three Big Ten teams that are all right there. So if you're Clemson, you're like, okay, well, two of those are going to cancel each other mm-hmm. out. It all balances out. But Alabama did get, kudos to them for beating a very good Florida team. But I still think it's going to be Alabama. And then they're controlling their own fate.
Oregon looks like they're in really good shape.
Oregon's in good shape.
That lead
Oklahoma's
sticks.
In good shape.
UCLA lost. Like, that was a mirage. USC. Everybody in the Pac-12 right. has a loss now. That league stinks.
But here's the thing.
It stunk for years.
If Oregon runs the table in the Pac-12.
They're in.
Right, because they won at Ohio State.
Well, yeah,
that's an impressive win, right?
A 13. We saw it with Washington. People knew that Washington was the fourth best team, but Washington got in the playoff because they were an undefeated Pac-12 champion.
Right.
I think they were undefeated that year, right? Yeah.
And I thought they fared themselves well. It wasn't like they got completely blown out.
Yeah. I don't think they – did they score? Was it like 24-7, I think, was the final score maybe?
Right, yeah.
Really not a memorable game at all, but they were technically in the playoff. Jets coaches have told Zach Wilson it's okay to be boring after the rookie threw four interceptions in his first 10 pass attempts.
So yeah,
just
I mean –
check that down, buddy.
Yeah.
That kid looks like he's 16.
He does.
I've never felt so old than watching Zach Wilson on NFL draft night. I thought, wait a minute,
like I said,
that guy is an NFL player?
Look, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields yesterday, all three had days.
Disaster.
They have no interest in going back and reliving.
Ooh, speaking of not reliving, still 2 weeks left, so they still have a chance here, but it is not looking good for your Cincinnati Reds. They have lost, get this, 8 straight 3-game series, 2-1. So they have not been swept. They've just lost 8 straight series.
What have they done?
2-1.
What have they done? Who have they allowed in?
The Cardinals. Cardinals now have a 3-game lead, 3 full games.
Cardinals are
for the second wild card.
And the Cardinals, you don't let them into the party.
Yeah.
Because they'll just hang around.
Reds are 8-16 now over their last 24. So they are in the margin for error 0. The Yankees stink right now, too. The freaking Yankees. Sox are going to get
in,
and my mother-in-law's coming to town this week. It's going to be awful.
Speaking of the Yankees, on a quick hit here, let me show you something. Mm-hmm. I found this fascinating. When I landed in San Francisco on Friday evening, Abigail Folger, who was one of the heiress to the Folgers,
oh yeah,
coffee fortune, she was a tragic member of the Manson murder victims, and she is entombed and a mausoleum at a cemetery right next to the airport in San Francisco. And I've tried to go like 4 different times, and every time I go, it's closed today for pipe repairs. I mean, fails.
It sucks. So, you know, when I've been turned away at a mausoleum, I've always been real upset about it.
So you feel the pain here. So we land, and I'm boom, 3:30, we landed on Friday. We're going right there. It closed at 5. I get there. There is a security guard in a smart car sitting in front of the mausoleum like this. So I walk up. I'm like, how you doing? And then he says, by the way, we closed at 4 today. What? It's 4:30. I go, can you let me in? I don't have the alarm combo.
Ooh, that's just what they tell people. Nice. He absolutely has the alarm combination.
So he then took me over to Joe DiMaggio's tomb.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Now, here's what's interesting. I took a picture, which you won't be able to translate.
It's California. All the famous people are buried in California. So every cemetery you go, there's a huge mega celebrity.
Correct.
Probably.
No,
right?
You're right. But I found this interesting. So Joe DiMaggio, one of the, three greatest Yankees of all time?
Yeah.
And then he's buried in San Francisco.
One of the 5, probably.
Who's, okay, Ruth?
Gehrig, Mantle.
Gehrig. Mantle, yeah.
Yeah.
So look who his neighbor is. I'm sure no. I mean, I just found it coincidental.
Joe DiMaggio is buried next to. Is that the Shea Stadium guy?
I don't know, but it's Shea, S-H-E-A. And I'm like, what are the odds in San Francisco of two legendary New York baseball names right there next
to? Well, are you sure that it's Shea Stadium? Because Shea is a fairly common Irish name.
What I'm saying is I don't think it has to do with Shea Stadium at all. I just think it's interesting that Joe DiMaggio, who is a Yankee forever, would be buried next to somebody who happens to have the same last name as the Met Stadium.
That's your big bombshell?
Yeah. I thought it was cool. I don't see you going to Joe
DiMaggio. Shea's like a really prominent last name.
I understand, but Derek, there are also, how many last names are there?
A lot.
Okay. So of all the last names out there, the neighbor to Joe, I mean, it's not like it's literally the next grave over is like, oh, that's the same name as the other stadium in New York. Found it interesting.
Yeah, okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Can we actually get that story in post, Jordan?
Interestingly enough, Joe DiMaggio's tomb, all it says,
it's next to
grace, dignity, and elegance personified.
You took a picture of the Shea grave. You were really excited to tell me about
that. There's nothing on Joe DiMaggio's grave to indicate that he played baseball, except for that he's next to Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
You ever wonder, and not to get too far off course here, because we got to wrap up with Biter Bull Bleep. I'm going to get cremated. Are you?
Well, I don't know that I'll be around.
You're going to set your wishes, right? I've told my wife, I've told my family, you know, God forbid something tragic happened to me.
I told you. I think what I'm going to do, and I mentioned this before when we were doing the radio show, you thought it was weird. Why don't people have all their details ironed out ahead of time?
Yeah.
You'd like to be cremated?
I remember hearing about this. I remember this segment. This was a fairly famous segment.
People buy their own funeral plot, right? Mm-hmm. My parents have bought their plot at Crown Hill. They know where they're going to be buried. You know you want to be cremated. I think I'm going to go sometime when I've got a little extra income, which probably no time soon, and find myself a nice casket and just break it in.
That's weird.
Occasionally take a nap in it.
It's very weird.
But I'm going to spend the rest of my life in it. Don't I want to be comfortable?
See, I don't want a casket, though. Like, I think you're weird, so maybe you won't. Our generation and future generations, I think it's going to be less and less prevalent to even have like, honestly, what's the point at the, you know, I love my papa and two papas. They're buried up in South Bend. But like 200 There's, years from now.
You got three plots up there?
Who's going to visit my grandparents? You know, nobody around is going to be able to have any sort of real memory of them.
I get it.
I don't know.
I did watch a video on YouTube of cremation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I think it's just a little, I don't want to say selfish because to each their own, but you know, to me, like, I'm not even worried about that. Like, yes, I want that they'll be, it doesn't matter what I want. They'll have this. There'll be a big funeral procession and they'll put my casket around Monument Circle and people have roses and cheer and all that. So I know that that's going to happen. But what actually happens to my physical body, just cremate me and scatter the ashes.
Where?
You know, somewhere else. I don't know. Scatter them through Midtown. That's where my heart is.
Through Midtown, okay.
I don't know. You know, my father-in-law I know will be in Maine.
What was Query doing yesterday over at 30th and Andrew J. Brown sprinkling Derek's ashes? Well, he said he wanted to be in Midtown.
That is technically Midtown. What's wrong with that intersection? That's not so
I didn't. Nothing yeah. is. But what's the definition of Midtown? Midtown actually is downtown, technically speaking, Monument Circle. Midtown.
No, it's not. If you go to midtownindy.org, then you'll see exactly the They're parameters
wrong,
of Midtown.
Because They're Indianapolis, wrong. Indianapolis goes from Southport to 96th. The middle of that, Monument Circle. Okay, time for Buy It or Bullshulz, by the way, which Derek makes a statement, and we say whether we buy it or we consider it Bullshulz. Brought to you each and every week by The Shop Indy. TheShopIndy.com online or 918 Broadapple Avenue, as well as Clay Terrace. Derek is wearing his butler shirt.
That's right.
They also have the now name, image, likeness of a number of different college athletes from Purdue, Ball State, Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis, David Bell here, Eric Hunter, you name it. They've got it, Ball State as well. They made some fabulous Ball State t-shirts for us when we were up in Muncie. So, The Shop Indy, TheShopIndy.com. Derek, statement
ready for
one.
This one? Yep. Spicy hot right out of the gate. The extensions for Chris Ballard and Frank Reich were a mistake. Buy it or bull boy.
I don't know about mistake. I think it might have been premature. I'm still not sold on – I don't think either is bad. But I'm not sold that they are the end-all, be-all. You know, this is lock, stock, and barrel, the right combination. I don't know that I'm sold on that yet.
Yeah, here's my problem with
Chris Ballard's been given a pretty long leash.
I don't really get – the need to kind of do that like that, you know? It didn't make a lot of sense. The timing of it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And again, we talked about Tom Allen and having belief. I think Irsay falls into that trap. Sometimes he believes in something so right. firmly that he's not willing to listen to logic. And look, I'm not saying that they need to. I think philosophically, and people can complain about the play calling, and some of those gripes are warranted. I think philosophically, Frank Reich is the right type of head coach. And Ballard has done – this roster is good. It's a better roster than it's been. The problem is that they're not good at positions that really matter.
Right.
And I think that's if we're gonna praise him for all his draft hits, I think we have to talk about Paris Campbell and Ben Banigou and some of the high profile misses. And what were they doing at tackle? Even if Eric Fisher is your solution, you had to know that it was going to be weeks until you Correct. Had him available.
And even then, you didn't.
And
know.
And his usual guy.
To what level?
So why didn't you draft an offensive lineman and have somebody come in? You know, I think there are a lot of things that you can question there. Statement two, at least half of the college football playoff field will be teams making their first ever playoff appearance. Buy it or bull bleep. So that'd be like, well, Oregon's been in the playoff. They were in the first
one. Yeah, that's Bullshulz.
Penn State.
That's Bullshulz. Look at it this way, Derek.
Ooh, who else are we even talking about?
Ohio State's been before. Clemson's been before. Oklahoma's been before. Alabama's been before.
Georgia's been before.
Georgia's been before.
Florida's not. If Florida ran the table.
Okay, Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati's not been in the playoff. There's another one.
The problem here is if there's going to be a Pac-12 team, it's going to be Oregon, and they've been in it before.
Yeah, you're right. And if it's a Big 12
Georgia's
team,
been in it.
If it's a Big 12 team, it's going to be Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
Because Iowa State's already suffered the loss, and
I mean Iowa could Iowa's been in it, right?
No, they were in the Big Ten championship game, and if they won, they would have gone to the playoff.
Michigan State's been in it.
Michigan State has been in it.
Okay.
Yes. So Iowa's in that mix, I guess.
But too. I still say Bullshultz.
Yeah. I don't. We're not leaving anybody out, are we? I mean, you've still got undefeated Michigan and Michigan State teams. I mean, if they really made a run, their schedule.
Michigan's
good
offense has come alive for sure, but.
Yeah, Michigan.
Michigan ain't beating Ohio State.
The thing about Michigan is that they've never really been. I guess they were under Rich Rod, but for the most part, they've avoided being like Nebraska bad or right. You know. At least we can wipe Miami off. Like we keep trying to make Miami into a thing, and I'm like,
same with
Miami,
Nebraska.
Miami never beats anybody. Like, yeah, but Miami's like constantly ranked. You know what I mean?
Right.
And every time I watch Miami, I'm like, are they good? Like, who's doing this?
Right.
Who's putting them there? Final one, and you were just there. I have a buddy out there that swears this is true. West Coast football start times are better. Buy it or bull bleep. He wakes up and goes to like the bar, and they have like a breakfast buffet.
It's weird.
And he loves it.
It's weird because it's just so detached. I mean, you get up and you're like, oh, wait a minute. It's 9:30 in the morning. And like, you know, it's already the second quarter of some game, you know, Indiana or whatever. You feel totally detached. Look, I'm born and raised in this part of the country. So it's what I'm used to. I was talking to Dan Rusinowski about it out there in California. And he's like, yeah, you get used to it. You know, he's born and raised in Connecticut like you, and he's lived out in California as the voice of the Sharks forever. And he's like, you get used to it after a while, but it would be tough for me.
I guess when I've been, and it's been a long time, it's been 20 years since I've been out there, but what I've always felt like is, and I've been to like Yosemite and up and down the coast and, you know, LA, San Diego, San Francisco, the whole deal. I can't imagine ever wanting to sit inside and watch TV.
Correct.
You know,
no, that's
like
the biggest
thing. That's what I'm
no
just
question.
Struck by about
no,
being
you are
out
right.
There.
You're absolutely right.
Is that it's so majestic and beautiful,
right.
And there's so
sunny
much stuff
every
to
day
do.
And yeah.
But you know, if you live there full time, the monotony of everyday life.
You're right.
I get it.
Really,
you know, I'm
dark.
On vacation when I'm out there.
At nighttime, when the sun goes down, it's really dark.
Yeah.
Last night,
I've been in Vermont when the sun goes down, and that's there's
you know,
no other ambient light.
I've never seen
black.
This before. I've never seen this before. It was a full moon last night, or darn close to it, and we went over the bridge into Sausalito and had dinner, and we had to go back to the airport, so we were driving over the Golden Gate Bridge to go back through San Francisco, and as you come up on the north on the 101, you come up to go down into the Golden Gate Bridge, and you can see directly in front of you is the Golden Gate Bridge, and then off to your left is the bay, and you can see San Francisco on the other side of the bay. Last night was the first time I've ever seen a body of water where the moon was so bright and so full that you could perfectly see the line of reflection of the moon on the water. It was like a Kincaid painting.
Wow.
And then you go over the Golden Gate Bridge, and last night was not foggy. Typically, it's really foggy when you go over it. It was perfectly clear. And Derek, you realize when you do that, you're like, there is a reason that like 8 million people live out here.
Yeah.
I mean,
and pay an absurd amount of money
correct.
To live out there.
Yeah. I mean, I had a salad for dinner that was this big.
And $37.
Yeah, it was $38.
Yeah, was it really?
Yeah. And I'm like, really?
God, you go to California, you get a freaking salad. Ugh. It's like all these amazing cultures and
well,
culinary.
I mean,
I get
that. We didn't have time necessarily to go into San Francisco and go to like Chinatown or whatever else. But yeah,
just you know, we went to New Orleans and I remember you got a cheeseburger in New Orleans. Good. And I got an authentic po' boy.
You were
authentic.
You were at churches.
Authentic crawfish po' boy. It's delicious.
Okay.
When in Rome. When in Rome.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jordan Chu, Greg Rakestraw,
Derek
Jake
went to
Morris,
Miami and got a filet of fish.
And our ISC crew for helping us out as they always do on the show. QuarianSchultz.com. For episodes and recaps,
Artist Gilmore.
Our YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the little bell thing so it reminds you every time we do anything, it says, Corey and Schultz are doing something. Click that thing.
I'd like to know, would you please?
It's absolutely free to subscribe.
I want people to tell me whether or not you can tell by looking at me that I am coming off a red eye and have had no sleep aside from this. What do you think of the scruff, Derek?
I think it looks fine. You look distinguished. I mean, you're old.
Okay.
But you look distinguished.
And I got a weird suntan going on.
And then follow us on Twitter @Schultz975 and @JakeQuery as well. We'll see you next week. And you'll be fully, well, you won't be fully rested because you'll be coming off another trip.
Coming back from
So another sleep deprivation, episode 54, next Monday here on ISC Sports Network. Have a great week, you guys.